The Blitz, KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, R-E-A-L, at John Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-ESPN. Missed the first hour? Pretty sportsy, for the most part. We had Lance on for two segments to talk draft, so we hit on all that. Yeah, we need to hit on the Rockets yet. Maybe mention that the Astros are playing the Yankees. Got that going on.
Yeah.
And, at some point, I want to talk about there was a couple of fights this weekend, one MMA fight of interest and one boxing match. We'll get to that at some point as well. And I've still figured out what to do about how we're going to handle Infinity Wars, because I think we need to at least have a non-spoiler discussion at some point. And maybe that's Jong's kind of thing, so maybe... Well, he's not listening, of course. Now he puts his headphones on. So I want to know how we deal with that, because I think we should... There should be some discussion about it, maybe a non-spoiler thing.
Yeah, we can do that.
You feel like, can we handle that?
I don't know how to discuss it without spoiling.
Yeah,
I was almost right about everybody dying with my fake spoiler last week.
Well, there goes the spoiler alert.
Well, listen, people die. Everyone knew that.
They have to go back and listen if they want to know who you said.
I said everyone's going to die, and we joked that even the camera crew dies and the audience could die. But, I mean, about half the people I projected dying died.
Yeah, I mean...
Almost exactly half, in fact.
Well, I mean, that was the whole point of the whole thing, was to balance the universe.
Wow.
To kill off half the universe, and that's kind of what happened.
Okay, here's what else, and again, if you...
All right, if we're going to try not to spoil it, but... If you are worried
if you don't want to talk about, if you haven't seen it, tune out for a minute.
Yeah, just for a few minutes.
Now, it made damn near $700 million.
Yeah, everybody's seen it, apparently.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, there's no way that this doesn't get reversed somehow.
Well, and that's really my only beef with it, is it felt kind of fake, because there's just no way.
They killed off characters...
That already have sequels coming.
Right. Like, you're just going to tell me now, okay, here comes the real spoiler alert. I'm giving you one last warning. 3, 2, 1. You're telling me that they're going to have Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and we're just supposed to pretend, that we're supposed to pretend that all those guys aren't dead?
Wait, what?
There's one left.
Yeah.
There's one.
The rabbit.
And Spider-Man, like, there's Spider-Man movies coming out.
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming is supposed to come out a few months after the next Avengers movie.
And what, we're just supposed to, that's what I'm saying. Everything, the next Avengers movie is going to correct all of this.
There's
no way those are permanent things.
Interesting theory, though, John. I'll bounce this off you for your Comic-Cast. I saw a very good fan theory that the ones we think are alive are actually the ones who are dead.
That's interesting.
When Thanos disappears at the end.
By the way, a theory that Thanos is a good guy.
Well, I kind of think...
Well,
I buy into his logic.
Yeah, you can look at it from his perspective.
He did kill his own daughter, though. That's pretty cold-blooded.
Mm. I mean, his adopted daughter.
Yeah, and she was green. Let's not...
Yeah, but he loved her.
Yeah. Did he really?
Apparently that was the deal. He had to have.
That was one of the things I didn't really buy, was there were some kind of forced relationships there, including that one. Overall, I thought it was really good. I don't think it was as good as, I don't think it was the greatest thing ever, like people were trying to say, and how blown away they were. I was I thought it was impressive. I thought that it was really cool to see some scenes with two of the greatest actors in the world and Robert Downey Jr. and Benedict Cumberbatch on the same screen. And I thought that having the Guardians in there was great. And I think considering how many characters they had to balance in this thing, they did as well as they could because it was almost impossible. But it, in the end, I mean, I think that's the thing. The ending felt a little forced to me because it can't stand up the way it is.
Yeah. And all the characters that had a chance to beat Thanos, they all died.
No. Thor's still alive.
Okay, yeah. Okay, he's the one that remains. But the Scarlet Witch was having some pretty good success against him. Dead. And Doctor Strange had some good success. He's dead.
Well, he had decent success.
I mean, they had more than the other guys.
Yeah, he had help with everybody else.
He had more success than the Hulk did. And by the way, that whole whatever they're doing with the Hulk, that pissed me off too. I want to see more Hulk. Don't tell me the Hulk can't come out. That reeks to me of trying to save a few bucks on CGI. And when you're putting out a movie like this, you shouldn't be trying to cut any corners.
It's going to make you that much money. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and part of the reason why I wasn't as blown away by this as a lot of people is, I mean, in my power rankings of which Avengers I like the best, the originals are Iron Man and the Hulk are my favorites of the originals, with Thor kind of third. I don't really like the other characters.
You don't like Captain America?
I don't like Captain America.
You're freaking Canadian.
No, it's not that. I just
a scumbag.
I just don't find him very interesting. And as much as I love Scarlett Johansson and would love to have her baby, I think her character's boring. I love Jeremy Renner. I think Hawkeye's boring, even though he wasn't in the movie. No, but I mean, another
money saving.
That and the ones that I like best, which are Iron Man and Doctor Strange and the Guardians. I got plenty of that, and Thor. I got plenty of that in this movie. But Ant-Man's one of my favorites. Where was he?
Yeah, I don't know why he wasn't in it either.
Well, imagine if you had to cram two more. You know,
they could have done it. What's
well, nah, but get rid of some of the ones that are more boring.
They could have fit two more. Give me a break.
No, yeah, it was, but I thought it was pretty well done for what they were trying to do, and I enjoyed it. It was, but I don't know that it's in my top five of Marvel movies. To be fair,
yeah,
is that too harsh?
I think it's in there for me. I think no particular order. I think Captain America, Winter Soldier's up there, Civil War's up there.
I thought Civil War was the worst of the whole series.
Guardians Volume 1 is up
there. You thought
Civil
War was bad?
Yeah, I thought Civil War was awful. The whole thing was just so forced to make them fight because they didn't have anybody else to fight. And it was basically, well, okay, now here's one spoiler thing in 3, 2, 1.
We've already given that.
No, this is another spoiler in case people came back. Basically, Thor Ragnarok was an entire waste of movie. I mean, everything they did to save those people, gone in 2 minutes.
Well, yeah. Half of them.
Well, where are the other half?
I'm sure they cut it out, but I'm sure because, you know, the main Thor characters or the side characters from Ragnarok, like Valkyrie and Korg and Meek, those guys, because Thor says he wiped out half of them.
But all we saw was a bunch of dead people except for Thor.
Yeah, I'm sure they escaped. I'm sure they'll address it in the next one.
Which, by the way, you know, you talk about adding one more person in there. Did we have to have Rhodey in the movie? Rhodey looks so old now.
He does look old.
God, that dude's like, you got to be a retired superhero at this point. He's not aging well enough to keep playing that part. They got to move on from him and bring back Jeremy Renner or Ant-Man, one of those guys. But the other thing, James says, I liked how Red Skull showed up. I laughed when he showed up, like, WTF, where did he come from? How did he get from Nazi Germany to the top of that mountain?
The Tesseract, the space stone, he touched it. Remember at the end of Captain America, he touched it and it kind of made him disappear? So it kind of beamed him up to...
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody brings up one more thing. And again, not really a complaint. I love Peter Dinklage. He's one of my favorite actors. But does he have to play every dwarf now?
He was a giant
He was a giant dwarf. Yeah.
I like that.
Is that it? Is basically any movie that has a little person's going to be Peter Dinklage?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have done better with the use of Mr. Dinklage.
I didn't, but see, that's the problem. You have so many characters and so many great actors in here. There's no way you can do any of them justice. I mean, I thought they did as well as they could. But for his, basically, it was a cameo. He was great in it, but what did we get, 2 minutes of him?
Yeah.
In a 2 hour and 20 minute movie? But yeah, I could, you know, no offense to Peter Dinklage, who I love, but it's like, I can't see him and see anything but Tyrion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, I'm sorry. Even in that 3 billboard show, it's like, oh, look, it's Tyrion as a car salesman. Oh, well.
And now, here's another knock. Now, I guess now the next big character in Marvel Universe is going to be Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Which sounds like just a blatant ripoff of DC. Like, they were like, oh, look how much success Wonder Woman had. Let's break out Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah. That movie apparently is coming out
next year.
In May, right? The Captain Marvel movie?
Yes, next year, yes.
I don't care about Captain Marvel. I don't like that character. I didn't like those comics.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Well, spoiler, because with her appearance in the next movie, you can almost guarantee Captain America is going to die, because they kind of serve the same purpose. Captain Marvel is a little more cosmic, but they also kind of have the same kind of like that attitude, that fortitude about, you know, being right and kind of sticking to their guns.
Yeah, they care about upholding justice.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So
you're saying you can't have two captains?
No, no. Captain America is more than likely going to die.
But she can fly.
She can fly. She's a little more, you know, she's overpowered, but I'm sure they're going to...
But I still think Captain America could beat Captain Marvel in a fight.
I don't think so.
I do.
No.
I have one last
thought. He has vibranium.
That's about all he's got, though. I have one last thought. I thought Josh Brolin was terrific as Thanos. And that character, he was almost like, not quite the Joker, where you can understand his mindset and kind of buy into what he's saying. But I kind of bought into what he was saying. I want to say this. Team Thanos. That was me. I was kind of with him. I thought he did a really good job.
Is Brie Larson hot?
She should be with a name like that. I don't know.
What do you think, Jong? The chick that's playing Captain Marvel. Do you think she's hot?
She's not unattractive.
I don't know what I think of her. I mean, yeah, she's not ugly. But I don't know if I think she's hot. I don't know if that's the right choice.
What else was she been in?
She was in The Room, that movie where her and her kid get locked in that storage container or storage shed.
21 Jump Street. She was the love interest for Jonah Hill.
I watched that movie, but I don't remember.
Have you
her.
Seen Kong Skull Island?
I have not.
Hmm.
Yeah, no.
She's not in anything else famous.
She kind of looks like a slightly more mannish Evan Rachel Wood.
I don't know. I think it's a poor choice. They could have got a hotter chick. I don't know who, but somebody.
Christina says she's most pissed at Star-Lord, but that had to happen. That had to happen. There's no way they could.
Why didn't they just, like, when they had him, they were holding him there, why didn't they just chop his arm off and take that glove away?
I don't know.
That's what I would have done if I were a superhero.
Like, yeah, you needed somebody with a really badass sword.
Like, Iron Man has that, he's got laser beams and stuff he can shoot out. He could have cut his arm off with that.
I don't know if those laser beams worked on that arm. But that would have been the thing to do.
I mean, what kind of arm does he have that... Remember in Iron Man 2... When they were in the park and he told Rhodey to get down and he did that spin-a-rooney and he cut all those drones in half. You remember that, John?
Yeah.
And he said, I can only use that once.
Oh, that movie was horrible.
Like, that's a good time to use it, is when you can cut Thanos' hand off and take away that glove. That would have been the time to use that one-time move. You thought that movie was horrible?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Which one?
Iron Man 2. The one with, what's that guy's name that plays Whiplash?
I forgot his name.
A real ugly dude.
Mickey Rourke.
It wasn't good, but it wasn't awful. I can't believe you think that's awful and you thought Civil Wars was good.
Oh, Civil Wars, tremendous.
That was it.
It's the better version of what the Justice League should have been. Oh, not the Justice. Yeah,
Batman versus Superman. But I mean, it was awful. They were just pretend fighting. The whole thing.
Iron Man 2 and Thor 2 are two of the worst MCU movies.
I agree on Thor 2.
Thor 2 for sure. Yeah. I think Thor 2 is the hands down the worst.
Yeah, and then Iron Man 3 is up there too. Yeah, those are probably the lowest of the three.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't think any of them are bad besides Thor 2.
No, I'll go to my grave saying Civil War was just awful. That's a waste of my life.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I mean,
Thor 2 is the only movie that I've watched from that Marvel Comics one that I've gone. Man, that was a stupid movie. And it's because it's all about love. It's like Star Wars Episode 2.
And no one wants to be.
I mean, who wants to watch the whole movie about this? About some demigod who's got like a relationship problems going on. I don't want to watch that.
Well, the thing with him is like it's very hard to do a Thor movie right, because he's like Superman.
Yeah.
But they got it right in Thor Ragnarok.
They did. I thought they did. So, I mean, if you can do it in that one, why couldn't you do it in the other
one? By the way, let me tell you something that's happened. Thor is more handsome now.
With the short hair?
With the short hair. And Captain America is less handsome with the long hair.
I think he looks better with the long hair.
I don't think so.
I'm kind of with you on that.
I don't think so.
When he was Captain America, much handsomer, clean shaven.
When he looks like a soldier.
Yeah, that's what he's supposed to look like.
I mean, come on. A soldier's not supposed to have that hair and the beard. I mean, that's not how soldiers look.
I know we need to go to break, but somebody has thoughts on Josh Brolin also playing Cable in Deadpool 2 as well as Thanos.
Well, he calls him Thanos in the Deadpool trailer.
Yeah, that was one cool thing about the movie yesterday is that they had a trailer for Deadpool 2, and he made a joke about that. He made a DC joke that I thought was pretty funny. So I can't wait for that. That one is very much, I'm very excited about that one. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get caught back up here. Get back on your sports. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz. I say most people think I'm wrong for not liking Civil War. I just thought it was a cash grab that didn't really move the story forward. And I don't like Captain America either, and it was kind of a Captain America movie. So, you know, if you enjoyed it, good on you. I didn't. I think the other two Avengers movies were better than that. I mean, technically, that was an Avengers movie, even though it was Captain America. But I thought the first two were better. And I liked the second one more than most people, because I thought James Spader was fantastic in that movie as the villain. I love that movie.
Yeah, but the second one was almost the same as the first one. It was like a repeat of the first one, which kind of got a little
every
stale.
Superhero movie is a repeat. It's I mean, listen. A bad guy is trying to take over the world. The good guys have to save the world. At the end, they do.
Except in this one.
Well, we didn't give a spoiler alert here.
No, but that's all right. They didn't quite get it done. It's got another movie to come.
All right, let's talk to Joe. He's been hanging on for like a half hour. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Let's get talk to Lance of the NFL draft. I was wondering, what sleeper QB pick do you think has the potential to be a star in the league? And then do you think the teams were trying to pick QBs who were successful in college based on taking Baker Mayfield and the guy and Sam Darnold from USC first? Which QBs in the NFL have been successful who came from college programs that didn't do well? Thanks.
Yeah, I to answer the first question, I don't know that any of these guys are going to be star quarterbacks, and that includes Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. I don't know if any of them will be. As far as guys who went late that I thought, you know, had some good value to them, I really think that Luke Falk going as late as he did.
You notice what pick he went, the Brady pick. 199.
Did he go 199?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick.
But I don't think he sees the light of day there.
I don't either.
That he might. I think.
He's there to be a backup quarterback.
Right. Right. He shouldn't. I mean, unless Mariota gets hurt. But I like that pick there. I agree with you.
But I mean, I think all these quarterbacks are sort of meh. Darnold's my favorite one, and he probably went to the spot that I would say is the worst.
Other than Cleveland.
Well, at least Cleveland's building some talent around Mayfield.
I thought they had. They got talent, but I just don't feel like. I just felt like they had a really weird draft too. I thought there were some better opportunities for them to build that roster. I don't think they quite get it, even with a new GM. And I think Baker Mayfield's going to be a bust. So I don't know. I think Josh Rosen landing in Arizona might be a good spot for him. And I think Lamar Jackson landed in the perfect spot in Baltimore because he won't have to do anything this year. He's learning from a really good coach.
And it's to the second part of your question, I think he was saying, like, how many quarterbacks in the NFL didn't have great college success and are good in the NFL? Matt Ryan's one that jumps out to me. Matt Ryan wasn't necessarily a successful guy in college.
He threw a bunch of interceptions.
As far as team success, especially.
Jared Goff had one good year at where there's team one, and although we don't know about him yet.
No. I think it's sort of I mean, Kirk Cousins was he had pretty good teams up at Michigan State. I mean, I think there's something to be said about drafting a guy who's not a total, you know, who loses way more than he wins. Jay Cutler was one of those guys who lost way more than he won, which some people find a knock on. Mitch Trubisky's another guy who didn't have a lot of success in college. Yeah, but
none of those, though, are guys that you're going, wow, you know?
Right. Matt Ryan's the one.
Matt Ryan is the one, for sure. He's your one gold standard on that.
I don't remember if Matt Stafford had great success in college. Was Georgia really good then?
They were good, but they were loaded with talent, and they weren't really as good as they should
have been. A.J. Green was there.
Yeah. And Sean Moreno, if I'm not mistaken, who at the time was a really good college running back.
And I believe, if I remember correctly, Matt Stafford's last year there, A.J. Green was like suspended for like the first 3 or 4 games because of some incident. Yeah,
because he dared to take money for a jersey.
And they were, I want to say they were the number one team in the nation coming into that season. And, of course, they didn't finish very high.
They were 9-4 his freshman year, 11-2 his sophomore year, and then 9-3 his junior year. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, but I also think they underachieved a little bit compared to what they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, but that's still success. It's kind of hard to... But
I mean, yeah, you're talking about basically 9.5 wins per year in college football. That's success.
Well, and I think that's a good indicator for the most part, but I don't think there's also a lot of guys who had a ton of success in college who turned out to be garbage in the NFL.
Oh, of course.
And
there's tons of those.
Yeah. What was Arizona's record for when Nick Foles was there? How were they?
I don't know. I don't think they were great. But I don't think they were necessarily. Arizona is also just not a very good college football program.
No.
They haven't been historically. I don't know. I'd have to pull it up. It says, well, you remember he started at Michigan State.
Right.
Then he transferred 2008. They started off 7-1 his redshirt junior year. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But of course, they clearly didn't finish with one loss. Yeah. And then he played. Yeah, I think they were okay. I'll have to look up. You know,
I'll have to. I'll go and study like the records for starting quarterbacks. But you look.
I won't do that.
They were 8-5 was the first year he was there. 7-6, and then 4-8.
Okay, so that's not very good.
Because what I always look for, and I used to do this every year, was basically the equivalent of how many wins a quarterback got versus prior quarterbacks with the same coach. So Jameis Winston versus EJ Manuel, for instance.
Right.
And that's usually a pretty good indicator of a guy's NFL potential.
But we also don't consider Nick Foles like a wildly successful NFL quarterback.
No, I was just throwing that out there because the guy just won the Super Bowl. But I'd need to go look. But it's not just that were they successful, because Carson Wentz won a bunch of games, but his team wins a bunch of games every year.
Right.
So what did he do in relation to other quarterbacks who were there? And, you know, that's because even Brady came out with a plus number on that. I'll have to go and do that.
Like somebody like Dak Prescott is a good example of that. Mississippi State, historically, not good.
Right.
They reached number one in the polls when Dak Prescott was there. They didn't finish number one, but they got there, which was just unprecedented and unfathomable. So Dak Prescott, clearly better than your average Mississippi State quarterback.
Mark Stoops was at Arizona since 2004. The 8-5 record they had when Nick Foles was first coaching, Nick Foles was first there in 2009, is tied for the most wins Mark Stoops has ever had at Arizona. 8 wins.
All right, we'll go to break here. We'll come back. We need to weigh in on the basketball. We haven't done that yet. There was a lot that happened over there.
A lot of sport to discuss.
All right. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-3776. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And quick plug for Sports Map today. If you haven't been on there, lots of good stuff, including a story that tells you how to get to the link to the live stream, which is now active. So if for some reason you want to see us, you can.
You can.
I don't know why you'd want to. But also, lots of other stuff. We got a story on the Texans picking up Kevin Johnson's fifth-year option. We got Charlie Polillo on the Rockets Jazz, a video. Got Jermaine Avery on the Texans and their mediocrity, a video. I got a Joe Blank column kind of looking to the Jazz series. Got my five observations from game one, which posted last night. We've got wrap-ups on the Texans draft. We've got a culture map story on how the new trail that's going to link Buffalo Bayou Park and White Oak Bayou, which is great for people who can want to bike and run all over town. We've got our Astros game-by-game wrap-up. And for Cowboys and Saints fans, we did draft recaps for both the Cowboys and Saints, and this is kind of an experiment. So if you're a fan of one of those teams, you might want to click on those, because if they don't get a lot of traction, then we won't be doing a lot moving forward. But if they do, then we'll do more on those teams.
I stand corrected on something.
You're sitting, actually.
I sit corrected. Lanham corrected me about Matt Ryan, and I went back and looked at the teams Matt Ryan was on. They all the 9, 10, 11 wins, so they were very good, actually. So, apologies.
I just remember he threw a bunch of picks his senior year, but like 18 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but that's why I wasn't all that high.
He was 31 touchdowns, 19 picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were good. 11 wins his senior year. And a lot of people were like, Aaron Rodgers. Listen, Aaron Rodgers, they went 8-6 and 10-2 in his two seasons as the starter. 10 wins is tied for the most wins in the history of Cal football. Like, it's hard to have success at Cal. Aaron Rodgers did fine there.
I guess you'd have to go back and look at high draft picks who did not have success in college and see how they did, because almost all of them do.
Right.
Now, you're Josh Allen, no. I mean, clearly not. But we'll see. And really, Josh Rosen didn't have a ton of success either as far as team success.
Right.
But should talk a little basketball, though.
Let's talk some. I guess let's start with the Rockets, who, since we left, have played game one of their series.
Indeed.
And didn't have much of a sweat. They rolled to a big first half lead and then just kind of coasted in the second half. And the Jazz couldn't get back even to make it a game. And it sort of shows the disparity between teams like the Rockets and teams like the Thunder. And, you know, because the Thunder and Jazz were so evenly matched. And then the Jazz, like all the things that the Jazz were doing well, none of it was working against the Rockets. The Rockets are just better. Like Rudy Gobert basically became, I don't want to say he was nothing.
Well, he didn't score a point till the fourth quarter, and everything else he got was garbage time.
Yeah. So they limited him. They did a really good job of limiting him. Donovan Mitchell was extremely inefficient, I think is the best word for what he did. And, you know, James Harden was significantly more efficient with what he did. And this was a good game for James, just in the fact that he got to the line a lot.
Yeah.
You know, 11 free throw attempts in the playoffs is pretty strong. So and he hit 10 of them. So it was a good night for him. And really, there was nobody besides Eric Gordon, again, who didn't play well when they were in there.
Yeah, two thoughts. The Rockets came out in the first half and did what I expected them to do. It was a tough turnaround for the Jazz. They had to close that series out late Friday night and travel and then do an afternoon game right after that. Yeah, that's kind of the NBA saying bleep you Jazz, and not having Ricky Rubio either, who was injured in that game. So I kind of expected the first half to go the way it did. And a lot of people were complaining because the Rockets kind of coasted in the second half, but that's all they needed to do. Utah can't score enough points once you get them down that much. And they made a little bit of a run, but they were never a threat. So I don't fault the Rockets for doing that. Let's not. There's no reason to go out and win by 30. Just, you know, win your games and move on.
Yeah.
Clint Capella outplayed Gobert just like he did Karl Anthony Towns in the first series. And if he does that, if Clint Capella is outplaying Rudy Gobert, the Jazz can't win a game.
I think what you're starting to see here is the separation that we talked about all season long between the top two teams in the West
yeah.
and everybody else. Because if you go back to Saturday, my God, what the Warriors did on Saturday to the poor Pelicans. I mean, the Pelicans looked so good coming into this series. Everybody's like, oh, the Pelicans could really push the Warriors. And then then the Warriors scored 103 points in three quarters with the two-time MVP in street clothes. I mean, that was just a clinic, and the Pelicans had really no answer. I mean, Anthony Davis didn't have a bad game.
Yeah.
But it didn't look like anybody else wanted to step up and really help. I mean, Jamal Crawford shot well, but nobody else wanted to step up and be the man. And the Warriors just did what they wanted on the offensive end, which is the opposite of basically the entire Pelicans first round series, where the Blazers could do nothing on offense.
I think it kind of goes to how bad, I mean, the Blazers just weren't very good for one thing. And now you're starting to see the Warriors.
Like, I think the Pelicans and the Jazz they're good teams, but they're just not on the level of these two teams. No, the Warriors and the Rockets are on a different tier.
I think both of them beat very flawed teams in the first round.
Yeah.
And so they're going to look better than they really are, because the teams they beat are, I mean, the Thunder are just garbage. And the Blazers, when in retrospect, just weren't a very good three seed. And so you get past that, and now you're playing teams that are actually good. And I think you're going to see a couple of short series here.
I think so, too.
And I think we're going to all get what we want, which is Warriors and Rockets.
Thank goodness.
For the championship of the world.
Thank goodness.
Basically.
That's all I care about seeing.
I think that's all anybody wants.
I'd be fine not – I mean, listen, I'll be honest. I've enjoyed watching LeBron. You know, the Cavs aren't very good.
No, but he.
But it's again, so great to watch him.
Again, by himself, almost willed that team to victory.
If you watch that game, I don't know how you can be like, oh, LeBron's so overrated. I mean, he just does this time and again. And he basically told the coach tried to take him out. He's like, no, I'm not coming out of the game. I'm playing every minute. Then he had to take off like 3 minutes because they thought he was hurt. And then he came back out and played the rest of the game. I mean, he's just, there's nobody who wants it as bad as him. And the rest of the team around him, like, they're just, okay, well, we've got LeBron. Hopefully he does that thing again tonight.
Because that's what he does.
Like, that's their hope of getting anywhere. I enjoy watching the Sixers play. And then I've watched the Rockets, and I've been watching the Warriors. There's nobody else in the first round that I was even interested in. And luckily, all four of those teams are still alive in their own series. Although I guess now the Cavs and the Sixers are about to play the Celtics. So, yeah, they all are alive. So I've got at least some interest in every one of the series. But I still, at the end of the day, all I care about is just the Warriors and the Rockets. That's what this whole season's led up to.
All right, I don't want to get into any betting here, but LeBron James plus 7 at Toronto, a team that's is not really built for the playoffs and was all out to beat
Wizards team. I'd probably take that.
I want to find the series price on that, because I guarantee you that you're getting a plus number on the Cavs. And here it is. Plus 170, Cleveland and Toronto to win the series.
Okay.
76ers minus 430.
Boston Celtics, plus 315. I mean, they've got nobody.
Yeah. They've got the best coach.
They've got the best coach. That's about it. They don't have any bodies, though. I mean, at some point, you got to have bodies out there, and they just don't have enough right now. And they're out of gas. But
well, I'm sure they can find a new job if they need to.
Well, I don't know if they need to do that, but they just need to take some time off, like the summer. But Jacob, last June, he was working too hard. He was a mechanic. He was stressed out. He was working 50, 60 hours a week. Less than 6 months later, he started his IT career, making more money, working less hours. How long is it going to take you? Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. If you don't have computer experience or training, they don't care. Helping people start an IT career is what they do. You attend classes either on campus or live online just 2 or 3 times a week, and you're going to get everything you need to start your new career. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited, and financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. Hey, if you haven't checked out Sports Map, lots of good stuff there, especially Cowboys and Saints fans. If you want more, you better go check that stuff out, because I don't get a lot of numbers, and we won't do it anymore.
Barry said Drew Brees was like 7-5, 8-4 most years at Purdue, but
Purdue was like they weren't a good program.
Well, Purdue's a horrific football program. That was like their bright years. They went to a Rose Bowl with Drew Brees.
Joe Tiller was there, right?
Yeah. It's the early years of Joe Tiller. And they went to a Rose Bowl, which was just unheard of at Purdue for them to go to a Rose Bowl. And they had a 9-win season and an 8-win season. Since Drew Brees left, they've had 1 9-win season, which was also with Joe Tiller in 2003. This was their first winning season since 2011. Jeez. And they went 7-6 this year. I mean, Purdue's just bad. So
I do like
it's all relative.
I do like the coaching staff they have there now, though,
with Jeff Brohm. Yeah. It's all relative, but Drew Brees, for what Purdue was before him, man, that's pretty tough to beat. He led them to their highest ranking since 1979, and they haven't reached that since.
Well, that's one of those things. That's why I'm going to go back and do that research again, because it is pretty telling. It's not necessarily that a guy's team wins 10 games, but if they win 8 games at a program that averaged 4 under the same coach, that's a significant amount. So it basically, the elite quarterbacks all ranked the highest in that. So,
yeah.
But there's also been guys that ranked very high in that turned out to be garbage too. All right. Before we do the gem of the day, can I brag on my son Will, who got his a piece?
Oh yeah,
published.
He got a piece. No,
he got a piece published in.
All right, that's good too, I guess.
Glass Mountain. He did a review of why Bloodborne is an artistic masterpiece. So my kid's a smart when it comes to writing.
Well, that's good.
So
I thought he got a piece.
He might have, but he wouldn't tell me about it. So,
God, by the way. Breaking news in the world of baseball, and really horrific news for my fantasy baseball team.
What's about you?
Well, it's also about the team that the Astros played in the World Series last year. Corey Seager,
yeah,
their shortstop, will undergo Tommy John surgery, which means he'll miss the rest of this season and probably a good chunk of next season.
How common is that for a shortstop or for a position player?
I wouldn't imagine. It's very – and what's crazy is, like – The issue that he had the other day, they said it was a hip injury, and now all of a sudden he's got a UCL sprain in his elbow, and that's a tough break. He's one of my favorite players. Like I think he's very, very good. I don't know, for someone who just like wants to see good baseball played, I enjoy watching him. Sucks for the Dodgers. I could really care less about the Dodgers as a team, but I do like that kid.
713-780-ESPN. Mag Daddy S reports that Giants guard Eric Flowers was being shipped around, or tackle, after they signed Solder. We're asking for a mid-round pick. Should the Texans have tried to kick the tires? No, I would just wait until he gets cut. I think whenever you're doing that, you're hoping somebody will give you something for the guy, and then reality is you're probably cutting him. So if you're the Texans, see if they cut him. I don't think he's any good. There's a reason why the Giants had an even worse offensive line than the Texans did at times last year. So, the guy obviously had some talent when he was drafted, but maybe you can get that out of him. But man, I don't know. Okay, do I have time for a gem here?
And do a quick one.
All right, I'll do a quick one. It's the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, we had a bunch of contenders today, including the 12-foot-long alligator that was blocking Highway 59 near Cleveland. Did you hear about that?
No.
Here, and you know, once again, the I don't want to say we're turning into a better Florida, but these gators running around. But I thought I'd do something which, you know, we talk a lot about sex robots on this show.
Yeah.
Well, I think 2,000 Americans were asked about the concept of the sex robot and how many of them would be interested in participating with a sex robot.
Okay. And by that, you mean how many would like to have sex with a robot?
Yes, with a sex robot. 16% of Americans say they're on board with the idea of sex robots, saying they would have sex with a robot frequently were they readily available.
Okay.
Men were 21% more likely to say they would have sex with a robot. It also asked people how much they'd pay for their ideal sex robot and found that the average American would pay $1,666.
Damn.
They're willing to shell out $560 more than women. Women, I think this should be a little bit of an indictment on you, just so you know. Men are more willing to pay for a female sex robot than you are for a male. And then 16% of the 2,000 Americans would even prefer to have sex with a robot than a real human. Now you're getting into weirdos. Some would even rather date the robot. Okay, no, that's too much. But basically 21% of people said, of American men said they would be interested. Total percentage, 40% of people say that they would actually have sex with a robot.
That's an unsurprising number, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's a little low if you ask me.
Yeah.
But it went into some other stuff, said what would Americans actually consider cheating? 44% think just holding hands with another person of the opposite sex is cheating. 15% aren't even okay with their partner viewing pornography. I'm sorry, I don't really consider those things cheating.
Holding hands?
Yeah.
Why would you hold hands with someone who isn't?
Ooh, this is... All right, you know what? We'll have to come back to this because it's almost... They give the top 10 things Americans consider cheating. I'd be curious where you fall on some of this.
Where's sex rank?
Yeah.
I think that's considered cheating.
Well, there's some various types of sex here.
Okay.
We'll talk about it when we come back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.